What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. An injury attorney, David Femenino, has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femenino, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, GetDavidGetPaid.com. Get your life back on track. GetDavidGetPaid.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, I'm going to ignore the Whit Merrifield stuff. I want to just say one thing before we get right back into the Super Bowl. 60 seconds or less, here we go. Can we just get to a space where when coaches sign, you know, a contract, they have to stay where they're at for at least 2 years? Dusty May just got there. Do you know what Michigan shouldn't have to do because Dusty May actually showed a pulse? Give him a new deal. Like, he hasn't been here a year. We are living in La La Land. Now, I am fine if after 2 or 3 years you earn a tenured status and can entertain other offers. Otherwise, what's the point of a contract? It's just crazy. Michigan shouldn't have to give Dusty May a new deal. They haven't even made the NCAA tournament yet.
No.
Guy could go out and lose the next 5 games and enter not in the tournament.
Nope, you're right.
That's all. I'm sorry. And by the way, the Indiana job blows. Nobody cares. Bob Knight's dead. And the candy paint pants are stupid. Michigan's every bit the job. Dusty.
What? I agree with you, Mike. I do. I agree with you. As a Michigan fan, though, I get it. Money talks sometimes. I get
they but my point. Signed him.
But
they
did. Here's my point, though. If you need to do this to entice him to stay, just let him leave.
No, well, it reminds me of what, 2021 when MSU, when all of a sudden LSU came knocking. And
I know.
You know what? We got to increase Tucker's salary.
You have no choice because these deals aren't worth the paper they're written on.
Well, you don't think that you think you got a coach that's under the radar when really Indiana is like, oh, we're firing Woodson.
Or in our case, under the sheets.
Or in a hotel room.
248-539-9797.
No, because what happens is kind of how, full circle, how Michigan football, you had to get somebody going back to Bo, so they went and got Harbaugh. This is the last connection to Bob Knight is Dusty May.
Why don't you just sign Bob Knight? Put a bag of bones on the sideline and just put the urn in a chair in
Mike,
a sweater.
It's how fan bases are. We were last great when it was Bob Knight. We need a Bob Knight guy.
Indiana hasn't been great in 25 years. And even then, that was with Mike Davis. It was a blip on the radar. Their true greatness is 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's over.
Understand.
No, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the situation because, look, I hate Michigan, but I can stick up for them in one regard. They made a hire. They brought you here from the hellhole that was FAU. They paid you handsomely. Yeah, they ain't been here a year.
Yeah. Because Rieger was like, well, he just didn't come out and say, no, like,
just ignore Rieger. That's the plan.
He can't just say, like, he's playing a politician right now. He can't just be like, well, you know.
Right. Yeah. We'll reset everything because we're talking Super Bowl, but we're going right to the people because we have full lines and people want to talk, and I'll explain everything later. Go to Glenn, 97.1. Glenn, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Doing okay. Yeah, after watching I didn't think I was going to watch the game, but it enticed me too much. And after seeing Patrick Mahomes look like a rookie quarterback, deer in a headlight, newborn fawn because he was getting heat. The D-line for Philly just destroyed him. He made Michael Jordan, quote-unquote, look like an absolute bum.
Yep.
So, yeah, the Lions have to do it. And I think, yeah, they are close. You got a Pro Bowler in Lee McNeil, DJ Reader, hopefully stays good next year. Aiden Hutchinson's a Pro Bowler. You've got to add someone to that other line, the other side. And, yeah, I agree. You're probably going to lose Onsarike. You need another defensive tackle, at least in this draft. And I guess to defend Holmes, I genuinely think to a fault, he looks at best player available.
He does.
And that's why when he's picking later, you're never going to get a quality D end past pick 15 because those elite athletes are picked way too early. You know what I mean? So when you have a first ballot Hall of Famer who will turn any defense from mediocre to elite with Myles Garrett, and since he's 29, you may only have to give up one or possibly just two first round picks. There's nobody in this entire draft that could hold his jaw strap, okay? There's no one even remotely close. And you have the money to take him. And I will also say this. Whoever contending team, quote-unquote, signs Myles Garrett, I'm putting a bet on them going to the Super Bowl next year. So if you don't do it, that other team will. So,
well, like, think about this. Imagine if Buffalo gets him. Imagine if Baltimore gets
Super Bowl.
Him. Imagine if Super Green Bowl. Bay gets him.
Unfortunately, they'll be in the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, he will change a defense. You don't need corners. You don't need linebackers. He's been the best defensive end in the NFL since he came in, and your D-line would be one of the best of all time. And it only takes two first-round picks, and you can – if I have to lose Kirby Joseph, Jamison Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs next year, I don't give a crap. You'll win the Super Bowl this coming year.
Glenn, I'm with you.
Has done well. Well,
no, Glenn, I'm saying I'm with you because I do believe you scheme offense. You can find players to run your offense, but when you have a high draft pick, and I know it's a little too late, but that's why I was like, man, you got to go out and get the best defensive lineman that you can because you will never see them again unless you pay for them later down the line. But right now you'll have them under a rookie contract for 5 years. But they went for the toys, which is fine. It looked fun. And you saw the offense, and where did that get you? 15 wins and an escort home.
I will not – I'm guessing you're alluding to Jalen Carter, which I definitely wanted. I was upset after the draft. However, based on how good the players turned out, I'm not dying on a hill over it. Obviously, if he missed those picks, I'd be furious right now. But I'm not happy
that
the Jordan gets are good.
The fact that you chose J-Mo over Jordan Davis, too.
I agree. I will say, though, you trade for Myles Garrett. That forgives any
look. And just do this for me, Glenn. This is important. It just whether it's Garrett, Parsons, Hendrickson, Crosby, someone of that ilk who's potentially on the move. Don't get hung up just on Garrett. It's dangerous to get hung up on. Now, look,
it's like a draft pick.
When he demanded a trade last week, we talked about him. I don't have to have him. I have to have somebody like him.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Somebody who gets invited to dinner with Myles Garrett. You got to sit at the same table.
Yeah, like I said, it's like when we talk about the Tigers. It's not Bregman. It's a bat. You need to
see. Oh, it's not Whit Merrifield? You want to talk about a guy who's been baked for years?
No.
Bobby Knight had a better OPS last year than Whit Merrifield. Bobby Knight's dead.
Yes, it's more of a position, not necessarily a person. But Myles Garrett said that he wants out, but there are a few people out there that you're going to have to pay. And you know what? That's okay, because I do think that the window is closing. The window doesn't stay open forever. This was your best year. The year before that, you were 30 minutes away. This year's going to be a lot harder. You got to make sure that you have the horses there. And you don't get that from the discount rack.
Also true. Let's go to Bill, 97.1. Billy, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm going to make the argument against it, which obviously is the unpopular opinion today. But, like, I've been getting all fired up listening to all these scholars. Isn't what Philly did the complete opposite of going out and getting Myles Garrett? Like, they built their D-line through the draft. In fact, like, who's their dominant edge rushers that they had?
Well, they went.
They're so strong up the middle. Kansas City ran for, like, what, 40 yards in that game?
Yes.
They're one of the best run defenses in the league. I don't get.
Okay, so
like,
then Bill, you want to build it through the draft, then why does your GM not do it?
Well, that's a whole other conversation.
No, it's not. It's interwoven, Bill. We can have the conversation. You're not wrong with what you're saying. You're not wrong at all. But what the Eagles do is when there's a great player available, they go and get him. So if you're going to. 100%. So hold on. If you're going to have the approach, we're going to draft one side of the ball and be elite. With you, it's the offense. With the Eagles, it's the defense, right? They supplement the offense with the big, bold moves. Trade up to get Devontae Smith. First-round pick for A.J. Brown, sign Saquon Barkley, etc. You then have to behave that way on defense because what does Brad Holmes not do? He doesn't want to put big money into the D-line.
And, like, I completely agree with you. There's, like, Brad Holmes needs to – the D-line needs to get better, obviously.
So how do you do it? If you're running the team, Bill and Clarkston's running this, what are you doing?
Well, one – having Aleem McNeil is so good. He is so underrated. Having him back, obviously having Hutch too, but having Aleem McNeil is huge. Having that guy up the middle is like, look at the last Super Bowl. It's like Chris Jones he's an interior guy.
Okay, so how are you gonna get somebody next to him? Tell me how we get that through the draft.
I don't know the names off the top of my head, but I'm saying that there's a route to take outside of we have to go get this dominant edge rusher. Like I just don't think that that's the only way to go.
Okay, so let me offer you the other pathway. Let's talk about it. Bill, you're not wrong, but here's your problem. You don't have time. So let's say you make a great draft pick. Do you have 3 years to wait for that pick to become Chris Jones? No.
Yeah, and you're not wrong on that either. But I'm saying there's other moves to be made, trades to – like there's other ways to go about
it. All right, so here's what I want to do.
Get Miles Garrett.
No, so here's what we'll do. Bill, you're not wrong. So the next time you call in, rock and roll. Give me three ideas. We're up against it. I'm not – that has nothing to do with you, Billy. It's just we're up against it. I got to move. Present me the ideas. You can't say the ideas if you don't have the ideas. You can't bleep on my idea if you don't have one that's cooler.
Fair.
Here's Rico. Be curious.
No, it's like, yeah, it's like a trade. Okay, well, who are you trading for? Well, somebody.
Not Whit Merrifield.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, yes, we will get to Alex Bregman, but we got to do something different to start the show today. I'm going to do something I rarely do. I have just kept Rico and the guys in mystery. I will only tell you I am starting with something non-sports. I am starting from something on a personal level, and I am seeking the counsel of the people in this room, but also you, the listener. And yes, at 2:45, we'll get some football and 3 o'clock, we're going to talk Bregman. But I got to do this because I have to tell you, I have reached a point with something where I'm told something is really good. And every time I watch this show I'm watching, trying to get into, I end up looking at my wife going, what the F are we watching? What is this? So allow me this space as we start on a Tuesday. And yes,
No.
The Bregman talk can wait. We'll get there.
It's always bad when something comes highly recommended because now there's no wiggle room.
I have been told that as I round the bend here and try to finish the first season of this show, that the second season is generationally good television. And I'm like, okay, slow it down. I will tell you it is bar none the weirdest TV series, program, whatever you want to call it, I've ever watched. It is, I don't know what I'm watching. Have any of you heard of the show called Severance? Anyone?
Yes.
On Apple TV?
Yes.
Okay. Now look, I'm trying to be a good sport about it. I want to punch everyone in the face watching this show. I don't want to give away too much. The general premise is Severance refers to what they do to these people when they sign their employment agreement. Now, there are days I wish we offered severance, and I just wouldn't remember anything about this place.
Yeah.
But my point is, they go down the elevator, and who they are outside of the building, they don't have recollection of it. Then they work all day. They don't know they're outie.
Right.
Then they go back up the elevator, and they don't remember. This is the part of the severance I would enjoy. You don't remember anything about this place. And you go back to your life. But never the two shall meet.
Right.
That's all I'll give away. I just need to understand, people, I'm like 6 episodes in. When football season ends, TV season starts. I do try to reacclimate into having a life and spending a little bit more time with my lovely wife. And like, I try to balance things out a little bit. I don't know what the F I'm watching. I'm told this is one of the greatest shows ever made. Doug Karsh is a super fan. Mm-hmm. Doug listens to a podcast about this show. I can't tell you what I'm watching. I have no grasp on anything. And I needed to know, A, have any... Now, I know Kenny wouldn't. This show requires thought. But maybe, David, maybe you, because you're Mr. Sci-Fi.
Right.
I've watched it. So have you gone through both seasons?
No. I haven't because I got started with it and then football started. But I put a pin in and said, you know what? Okay, potential.
I'm going
to come back to this.
I also struggle that the lead character is the mean brother from Step Brothers. And I can't get it out of my head of him, like, bragging about selling helicopters and saying it's the Catalina wine mixer.
See, the funny thing, because I remember when I told you about this, and I'm like, Mike, you'll like the premise because they can't remember anything that happens at work. Like, work and home life are two separate things. When you go through this, the elevator, it's like a little portal you go through and you don't remember anything.
I do. Listen, I am a
I would love that.
No, I'm living severance. Is I basically do everything to forget about this place when I go home, and I live my life.
But it's it would be a stretch because I don't think you're a big sci-fi type of person.
But I'm trying.
So
this.
I wouldn't recommend this show to you. I just thought it was funny.
But it's too
because
late.
I know you.
It's too late. I've already learned about the waffle parties. Okay. It's too late. God, listen, if you have seen Severance, I just need to know, is it worth it? Because I am trying, and none of my regular shows come back for a few more weeks.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on the Yellowstone prequel to come back with Harrison Ford. I'm going to be all over it. I'm waiting for Reacher to come back. Guys, help me. I am so confused at how this is an all-time good show, and there are episodes you're sitting there, and you will look at your loved one, or if you watch it alone, you will look at the ceiling and go, what am I doing with my life? This can't be it.
I got three episodes in, and I was like, okay, I like this. I'm going to come back to finish this later. But yeah, I was like, it was kind of cool.
But because, football started.
Right. And it was just like, okay, So I'm like, great, I'll just binge this later. So yes, it's probably.
And I'm sorry to put this on you. I know the Bregman stuff is big today, but we're going to get to it at 3.
No.
I needed to ask because last night I tried to watch another episode and we got to this point where I'm like, all right, maybe this is starting to pick up a little bit. Maybe I got to stick with it. And the fact is, it's Apple TV. It's not like you're paying for it. It's not like you're buying episodes. It's right there. You just hit the button.
See,
but it's the Catalina wine mixer guy. I can't get away from it.
But see, I think for you, it's going to be difficult because it's not what you're into. So that's why it's like, yeah, because it's science fiction and it's a bunch of what if type of scenarios.
Bro, the hallways of that place look like the hallways of this place.
And you, Mike, from the time that I've known you, you are a logical, it has to make sense person. You don't get into the whole, okay, take me on a ride and finish it at the end. I'll just sit in the back and be quiet. That's not you.
I'm just rounding the bend here of season one.
Because, you're probably asking a ton of questions, and I need to know now.
No, but I have to ask them silently.
Right. But I'm saying, because you can't suspend logic. And
I'm
just
trying.
And I know. And you are. And this is personal growth. But that's why I would have never recommended this show because
I know.
It's why I never said, Mike, you got to watch the Marvel movies. Now, we did it during the pandemic, but it was like, I know that's not you. So
some of those were okay, though.
Yeah, it's funny because, you identified with like certain characters. Like,
yes.
I was like, okay, yeah, I could see you in Iron Man. And no, you was
Tony
you,
Stark's a good dude.
No, it was Thor. I was shocked.
It was sarcasm. I liked it. It was funny. Okay. Look. No spoilers, I'm asking. I understand Severance came out 3 years ago, but season 2 just came out. And when I tell you this has like a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, that this is one of the TV critics are saying it is generational. You know what's not generational? Alex Bregman. We'll get to him at 3. I need your help.
But real quick, David, also remember sometimes when people get behind things and they tell you how great it is, you end up with Sharknado 6.
Truth.
So.
Truth. David, have you heard of this show, watched this show, plan to watch?
I have heard of this show, and I'm a very stubborn individual. And because the ratings were so great and everyone was saying how it's so good, I decided I'm not going to watch it.
That makes no sense.
I don't like being forced to do things because, it's great. You got to do this. I'm good. I watch my own thing. Like, I'm going to start Landman this weekend.
But see.
Fabulous show.
It makes
fabulous.
Mike, this makes sense. I've been around you guys long enough to know. Yes, never tell David this is something you need to watch.
Oh yeah, I'm never going to do it.
Because David won't do it.
But then I saw the preview for it. I'm like, you know what?
You got to almost downplay and be like, yeah, it's all right. It's okay. David will watch it.
Yeah.
But if you're like David, I'm telling. Okay, well, I'll see if I can get to that.
I'll start.
Just answer the question this way for me, people. If you've seen Severance, is it overrated?
I'm going to stick this out. I'm too far into season one not to. TV season has started now. And I'm trying like hell. But, I mean, the critics talk this show. I'll tell you one thing. I'm pretty sure Doug Karsh loves this show more than his kids. The way Doug talked about this show, you would have thought that this thing reinvented the wheel.
Yeah, he keeps telling me, hurry up and finish the first season. Like, he rewatched the entire first season.
How?
And it's like,
how? I can barely get through the episodes.
I saw new things that I haven't seen before. But, yeah, I like it. I like the premise. I want to see where this journey takes me. So,
okay.
But you're a lot further along than I am right now.
248-539-9797. We're going to get to Alex Bregman. We're going to get to a football today in about 25 minutes. I'm stuck on this Stafford rumor. And we are going to talk about Rico's dance party. This is going to be Soul Train tonight, College Hoops edition. Rico has a College Hoops dance party for everybody at 4. You're pumped up about tonight. Don't lie. You are bricked up. Don't lie. You're excited, and you want the people to be excited in a post-football world.
Yeah.
Also, by the way,
I'm offering you here's something to eat tonight. It's college basketball.
Also, we're going to slander the NHL later because we've just found out something about the Four Nations face-off that is quintessential NHL. We are loaded today.
You know what? Real quick,
yeah.
think of Severance as kind of an adult version of Stranger Things. Because when I first started watching Stranger Things, I was saying, everybody's telling me this is a great show. What the hell am I watching?
Yeah, I didn't love it. Sorry. Okay, good talk. We're off and running. We'll get to the people next. I just need your help with it. I just need to understand, is this thing going to pay off? It's TV season. And then we get to Bregman. So a couple of notes for everybody, 5 o'clock. First of all, hopefully you're getting home safe because, I don't know, this snow sounds like it's about to get nasty here in the next hour. But Odyssey.com Rewind, we covered Javi Baez is cleared for opening day. And is he going to make the team? And if he does, what is your response to it? You can go get that. We covered the latest from the Lions, tatting it up, talking about talk. That's there. The Torkelson stuff. What?
No, tatting it up, talking about
talk. Oh, just tatting it up, talking about talk. But I wanted to ask this question, Rico, because I feel like if we don't do this right now, we miss the window to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
News of the day, and it was the WTF news of the day, where I asked myself, this guy is giving Lane Kiffin a run for his money, failing up in life. Did you see who Ohio State hired as their defensive coordinator?
I did. As you were writing it on the sheet, I was writing it as well. Yes.
Matt Patricia. Huh? What kind of spell does this guy cast on people? Like, he rolls in his moo-moo and cab driver hat. And what type of silver tongue does this guy have? How does this keep happening? He has been an abject failure in everything he has done post Belichick, a complete disaster. And I know, okay, fine, him calling plays shouldn't be on him. Well, it happened. He was one of the worst head coaching hires in history. He has been a failure as an assistant coach post haste. How do you? Rico, it's not just a guy going to college to live out his days. He's getting the Ohio State DC job. You could argue that's the number one DC job in all of football. They just won the national title. They spent $30 million on a team and coaches. The pay, the players. He didn't go to college to, be the DC at Tulane. What am I missing with this guy?
Apparently, he's a smooth talker. Apparently, he's able to keep getting chances. And here's the thing. If you're Ohio State, you just gambled and won. You took Chip Kelly, who was his offensive version, and it worked. So you know what? if he comes in, you know he's going to be motivated because he doesn't want to be there. So he's going to take all the talent Ohio State has, and he's going to try to maximize this into another job.
If I'm a Michigan fan, I'm pumped up about it. This is a guy who treats people terribly. This is a guy who had a horrific relationship with players. And newsflash, before you say, yeah, that was the pros, college is the pros. You don't get to talk to these kids the way you used to. You don't get to bully people. You don't get to demean people. They're pros. They're making real money. I can't believe Matt Patricia got that job. And unless I've missed the Matt Patricia found Christ article, or he's somehow now like inoculating baby seals. I couldn't believe what I was reading. It's just truly remarkable.
Yeah, but see, I think it's, is it that much different than Wink Martindale going to Michigan?
The difference is, look, Wink had a bad run with the Giants. He had one good year, one bad year. Mm-hmm. It's not that different. I guess you're right in that regard. The Michigan thing, there was at least the pipeline of the Ravens internship program where that's the only place they hire defensive assistants from. You're not wrong. It just, candidly, I think everybody knew Michigan wasn't going to be very good this year. And whatever, Ohio State is a freight train.
Right,
I don't know. Hey, maybe I'm overreacting to it. I just can't believe. And look, we work in Detroit, Rico. I'll never forgive Matt Patricia for what he did to this franchise.
And I think that's what it is. No, I think that's what it is. It's like the perfect storm for Detroiters and Michigan fans. Matt Patricia going to Ohio State. You got double reasons to just boo this man. But he's going to go there, and Ohio State just did it with Chip Kelly, and it worked. Because I remember.
You think it's going to work?
Yeah. I do.
You do.
I do. Because No. By work, I mean it'll parlay him into an NFL job next year. So this is a one-off. He's not there long-term. He's there. He'll go out there. Ohio State will probably win the Big Ten. He'll get job offers to be a DC in the pros, and then he'll be happy again.
David, you're a Michigan fan. I need your take on this. I'm sorry. I got to have it.
Oh, David was doing the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, this
dance.
Is laughable. It really is. Like, you look, I get it. It could work. It could. I'm just laughing at the fact that he hasn't really done anything. He still parades around as talking about, oh, I had the greatest call ever of Super Bowl history because I saw something on tape during the week and we prepared for it. Dude, you didn't make the play. And he continues to fail at everything. With the Eagles, he was god-awful with the Eagles last year. And now he gets the best coordinator in college football? It's funny to me. That's just laughable. I'm going to enjoy it, laughing at him lose to Michigan this year.
I mean, I'm not. David, look, you guys have been beating them so much, I can't argue the fact. Like, they won the national title. You still beat them.
I shouldn't be cocky like that. I really shouldn't, because things could change coming into the next season.
You're starting to sound like a Lions fan. Jesus. No, I had to bring it up because I did not want this to get lost in the shuffle and the news cycle. That was the headline today. I mean, above the Torque comments, above the Baez thing, above Amon-Ra's comments, this was the one where you just went, you've got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ohio State could have anyone they want. What does this guy do when he goes in the room? Does he have a magic cologne? Does he tell great jokes? Is he Don Rickles? Does he just charms people? What's in the recent resume where you go, this is our guy? There's nothing. Nobody likes him. Remarkable. Rico, maybe you're right. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it's the new rehab program, like what Saban used to have at Bama. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just stunned.
No, because stunned. Here's what happens. You're a college team. You get NFL coordinators to come in there. You can sell that to your players. Hey, they're going to teach you what it's like to be in the NFL. And you know, unlike most the old school college coordinators who were going to be there for a few years until they got a head coaching job in college, these are guys, it's like Bill Belichick. I don't want to be at North Carolina, but that was my only option. So let me do what I have to do so I can get out of this city.
I don't even know that I need to throw the number out. I had to say.
Let's throw the number out.
Let's throw it.
Okay. 248-539-9797. Matt Patricia is the new defensive coordinator at Ohio State. I mean, if you're a Michigan fan, are you like David? Are you dancing like Kirk Franklin back there? I mean, what on earth? I'm happy to have a conversation, but I just, you talk about a guy where if you said, all right, take a guess who Ohio State hired as DC, and you gave me 100 guesses, I still wouldn't come up with Matt Patricia. It just, knowing I could pay my defensive coordinator $2.5-3 million, you can have just about whoever you want from wherever you want. How do you land on Matty Patty? You got a thing for moo-moos? Is it like, just like,
no,
is this
he's lost a
Ryan
lot of
Day's
weight,
version of Rex Ryan's foot fetish? He loves a good moo-moo in the office? Like, what are we, how?
In all fairness, I saw him on Good Morning Football. He lost a ton of weight, so he's just in a moo.
No, just not
in
the
a
moo-moo.
Singular, he's in a moo. Okay. 248-539-9797. We can get to a few of the phone calls and what I am sure to be some spicy ticket texts. We'll get to it next. And if you want the Tiger talk, if you want the Lions talk, Odyssey.com Rewind has got you covered.
All right, I want to say something here before I bring up another Bregman thing. All right, first of all, yes, 3 o'clock, ha, 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 the whole bit. There you go. Odyssey.com Rewind and whatever. Can I have 1 minute here on the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Because I've had enough. And I'm telling you, in 2027, when this CBA runs out, the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to be the reason the entire sport changes. This has gotten to a point of parity. I mean, the Dodgers are signing pitchers that they don't have room for in the rotation. They already had a great rotation. Okay, so fine. They lost Flaherty. But they have Glasnow. They go and get Sasaki. They got Yamamoto. They got Bobby Miller. Now we're going to go out and sign Numbnuts McGee. Hey, the dead body of Clayton Kershaw is back. Like, I just, this is like our topic we're going to do at some point with the Pistons. When you feel like the league has gone rotten, it is very hard to enjoy the success of your own team because it's in a sewer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Dodgers are openly circumventing the rules in a bad faith manner. And it's legal, but it doesn't mean it's right. And I'm sitting here in Detroit and I'm going, we made the playoffs last year and I don't even feel like it matters.
You know what it feels like, Mike? It's feel like the financial version of the shift in baseball, where you can just kind of stack players and move them wherever you want to go.
Yep.
And I was like, come on, guys, this is not what the game's supposed to be. It's no rule against it, so we're going to do it. And that's where the Dodgers are right now.
It's got to change.
When the new deal comes up, then yes, you can't do this. You can't pay players' grandchildren because you want them to play for you right now.
I want to ask fans a question. And this is where I have not told David, Rico, or Kenny this question. But I think it's loosely related to Bregman. It's one of the reasons I was scared to bring him here. And although your park is more hitter neutral, when it comes to home runs, it's not. Here we go. We just got done in hour one talking about we felt great relief that Alex Bregman didn't take the Tigers, in my opinion, very generous offer of 6 years and $170 million. I can't make fun of Chris. I can't make fun of Scott. I wouldn't have offered six to this guy, but that's another thing for another day. The point is, he didn't take it. He took a short-term deal to go to a better ballpark and change positions to do so. That's the point I wanted to make in the 3 o'clock hour. I have a question. And I'm asking you to suspend reality for a minute. But as Tiger fans, do you wish Comerica Park was more of a help than a hindrance to being able to sign actual baseball players who like to hit baseballs? Because the reality is, at best, this is a low-end hitter's park from a power perspective. At worst, look, I've seen it on Park Factor where the Tigers are like sixth or seventh hardest park to hit a home run. What did we talk about with right field? You know, or for a right-hander pull hitter, that it would kill Bregman's power by 5 to 7 home runs a year. Well, what if it were different? What if it were a park that would increase Bregman's productivity? Wouldn't that have been a reason he would have come here? I mean, why do you think the Tigers never consign bats? Nobody wants to play here. And while you're going to say, listen, it's great for pitching, I understand that. It's tilted to the other way because from a power standpoint, it's really hard to hit a home run in this place. Like, if you lived in a dream world, and before everybody freaks out, remember, they altered the park at Camden Yards. You know, they altered this park at one point. Remember the flagpole being in play?
Yeah.
I think they got one look at that and went, what the hell did we build? This is like Yellowstone National Park. I mean, it's the polo grounds. You can't do this.
Right. It'll look cute in the business meeting, but yeah, actuality, no.
Would you, if you ran the Tigers, would you have a very aggressive ballpark alteration that would at least play to a certain type of offensive player? Not turning it into Yankee Stadium where 300 feet down the line on a pop fly and it's a homer. Not installing a pesky pole. Not doing something stupid, but having some part of this park become easier to the pole field to hit home runs. And obviously, once you get to the gaps in this place, I mean, it's you may as well put trees out there. It's a forest, especially, but a scoreboard. I wonder. I'm not asking for a cookie cutter park of the 1970s, Rico's childhood, where every park looked the same. It was like create a stadium on Sega Genesis. I do wonder when we sit here and we beg this team to sign bats. If I were repping a player, I wouldn't want them here. Because their numbers are going to suffer. And again, in a day and age, Rico, of power, power matters. This is one of the 5, 6, 7 hardest parks to hit a home run. Mm-hmm. Is this an insane question to just gauge a fan base?
No, it's not. Because here's the thing. The park was made, it wasn't made for modern day baseball because it is about home runs. And it's about the analytics and the exit velo and all of that. They're not maximizing the park. It's like, okay, you built a park where basically you need a bunch of singles and doubles hitters and they would flourish here. Except for that's not where baseball is right now. Or the other thing, Mike, I could live with this park if this team took advantage of the dimensions and said, we're going to have the most lights out pitching staff ever. When you come to Comerica, yep, you're not going to get anything because we're going to invest in what we have. We're not going to change the dimensions, but we're going to change the mentality. We're going to have this pitching staff that's just above reproach, where it's not, you're going to have Scooble followed by a bunch of people. It's probably why pitching chaos works here.
That's exactly what I was going to say is, does pitching chaos last year work if that ballpark exists?
Pitching chaos will never work again in the next 40 years of baseball.
It
was a one-time only thing, brother.
But would it have been as effective last year?
No. I totally agree with you guys. I'm just making a point.
By the way, I like the idea. I think I'm not anti that idea. It's just
I think the ballpark is beautiful. Like, I think it's a super cool ballpark, especially now they've actually decided to remove tube TVs and spend some money on it. The point is, you do start to look at your park and never being able to either acquire or develop power. You're never going to have it. Now, if you have titanic power, 70 grade power, 65 grade scouting power, you know, you're a Pete Alonso, you hit a ball to the moon, right? You were Miggy in his prime.
Doesn't matter.
He hits him where no ballpark holds him, but Aaron Judge, another case.
Your guy Judge, yeah, he hits
those guys. Those are generational. So the not a fringe player, but it's like if I'm going into free agency like Alex Bregman and I'm signing a guy who in Houston with the Crawford boxes is about a 25 home run hitter, his representation is not going to let him come here because here he's probably an 18 home run hitter and his life is miserable.
And I think that these are conversations that the players and their agents are having of, okay, well, if you go here, these numbers will go down. So when you want that next contract, guess what? You're not going to make this amount of money because they're going to come to the table and say, well, here's your stats in the last 3 years while you were playing in Detroit. You can't retaliate and say, yeah, but it was Detroit and the park was bad. No, it's so You have to make the choice, okay, and it's where the Detroit tax kicks in.
Your
numbers are going to be worse than where they are, but we'll pay you more.
But here's the thing. You just said it. Yeah, the Detroit tax. We always talk about it. But this is an example. The Detroit tax didn't work because of the ballpark. There was no way Bregman was going to come here, even if we paid him 10 years, $500 million. Well, maybe $500 million he comes here. But you get my point. The tax didn't work. The ballpark is the detriment.
But you need, and that's the case, and you need to invest in the pitchers. And I want to give him credit because caller TJ just texted me. But, yeah, back when you had Scherzer and Verlander and Porcello, like you had arm after every
but
night.
But it didn't matter what park you put those guys
in. No, but I'm saying because of this park, because it's not for hitters, you're taking advantage of that because it won't be home runs hit. Yeah. It'll be lower scoring games. So invest and have the best pitching staff that you can if you're not going to bring the dimensions in.
Yeah, and again, it's the reverse. I mean, you know, why do I think Colorado will never win anything? Because they play in an environment, and humidor be damned, Coors Field is just not conducive to having a pitching staff with an ERA under 50. Right. You know, you play in certain park. Now, again, the Yankees play in an offensive-minded park down the pole fields, but they've still have pitchers that are good enough. You survive it. I mean, it's not like Gerrit Cole can't pitch anymore. I just wonder if having a park that it's this hard, I think it was the seventh or sixth hardest park to hit a home run on park factor. And I think about the conversations that happen with somebody like an Alex Bregman, or think about a Pete Alonso. Like, not that the Tigers went after it, or a Teoscar Hernandez, or how about a Santander? Now, that's a guy who just had this power eruption. You know where he's not going to go? Here.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, I'm going to sign a deal, and everyone's going to want me dead. I can't hit the ball that far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll be labeled a bust, but so it's not really.
And there's no yelling and screaming about this. It's just, I wanted to know if you guys were thinking the way I was thinking about it, where it's like, look, you can create a park where pitching and speed and, you know, roster flexibility. But the reality is, if you're going to win the World Series, yes, you need pitching and power. It's the two P's. You got to have power. And you're never going to develop it here. Yeah, sure, you go, well, we just need another Cabrera or 12. Well, good luck. 248-539-9797. We'll get with the people momentarily. Just a little bit of fun as we wrap on Bregman.
All right, Mike's out there watching Breeders' Cup highlights.
Yeah, that's right. No, we did this yesterday, and just we had fun with it. People enjoyed it. It's completely irreverent. It is Four Nations or Foreign Diplomat, brought to you by Kenneth G. Cott. Let's do the business. I'm Ron Barr for EA Sports.
I'm Ron Barr. Four Nations or Foreign Diplomats, Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Okay.
Let me give you guys the rules just in case you missed it yesterday. The rules are, I'm going to Who Said It style give you two players. And Who Said It style, you guys are going to tell me which one is the Foreign Diplomat and which one is the Four Nations player.
Okay. And the rules are, if it's blatant that I know it, I am to sit out.
And this is going to be a few of these. There's going to be several of these because, as we said yesterday, Mike, you are, I guess, a card-carrying member of the hockey elite once again.
It's on a probationary basis, but
we'll see how you do today, all right?
Yeah, I'll probably falter. I mean, what are we going to do? You can do Finland today or something ridiculous?
No, we actually have a combo platter of U.S. and Canada.
Okay, the English-speaking nations.
So they're names that I can pronounce without having to stare real hard at them for a few seconds.
Tim Horton.
Right.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so we got Daniel Morrissey and Josh Morrissey. Which one is the Irish minister for the industry of commerce, and which one plays for the Winnipeg Jets?
You said it was Irish. I'm going to say Daniel's the Irish guy.
Okay.
Rico.
Daniel or who?
Josh.
Yeah, Morrissey?
Josh doesn't sound Irish.
No.
Some what if Kenny's game. Running a game on you, though? What if Josh is a Gen Z? He's a bit of a rising star in the diplomatic game.
No, I'm going to say Josh is the hockey guy.
David.
I'm going Josh is the diplomat.
I wonder if Kenny's doing a little reverse of the reverse psychology here.
Michael, what is your guess?
I'm going to say Josh is the Irishman diplomat and the other cat's the player.
Daniel Morrissey is The Irish Minister for the Industry and Commerce.
Damn it. We gave Kenny credit for being smart and cute, and those were two terrible mistakes.
It was the reverse of the reverse.
Dude, how many Irishmen have named their kid Josh?
Probably not many.
Next one on the list. We have an ambassador, and we have a defenseman for the New York Rangers. Adam Fox and Sam Fox.
I'm sitting this one out. I know this one.
Adam Fox is the NHL player.
I can't confirm that. Who? Adam Fox and
Sam Fox.
I just like the name Sam Fox. Sounds like a nice young man.
Entertainer.
Yeah. Like he's telling jokes. He might even be on the Saturday Night Live thing this Sunday.
Yeah, Sam's a politician.
Adam Fox is the player.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sam Fox is a Belgium ambassador.
So. Yeah, you ever wonder how these guys get into the business of being an ambassador? Like, what's the career path for you to get that cush gig? Whoever wants to talk to the Belgian embassy about anything?
That's why.
Waffles?
No.
French fries?
No. Mike, that's why. It's the job as a president that you give to your friends.
Yes.
So you pick the favorite place you would love to live, and you'll be the ambassador there. You're living there for free. No one's going to bother you. You're on a permanent work vacation.
Note to self, find the 2028 president and become friends with him.
So Adam Fox is on the U.S. team?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Adam Fox, USA. Evan, you like Thailand? You know what? You're the ambassador. There you go.
All right, trouble there.
Next one. This one might be my favorite one that I have on this list. JT Miller or TJ Miller?
Oh, man.
Not to be confused with the guy who played a role in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that's TJ Miller with the long red hair. Huh. Is it Confer? Did you say Confer?
No, he said Miller.
JT Miller or TJ Miller?
All right, I'll sit this one out because I know this one.
Oh, JT?
I'm going to go JT.
Hold on. Who's who?
Yeah.
What are the two jobs here?
That's your job to figure out.
No. What's the political job?
One is an ambassador. One is a hockey player.
Okay. Ambassador to whom?
I won't tell you that until it's over with. I learned my lesson with the Daniel shenanigans.
I'm going to go JT.
I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to go TJ.
David. I'm going to go JT with you, Rico.
Can he give it?
TJ Miller is the three-time U.S. ambassador. Not a foreign ambassador. I just like the JT-TJ thing.
I love it.
Three-time, though. Back to back.
Like, listen, if I didn't know it, that's diabolical. What he just did to you guys?
Yeah. But think about this.
Diabolical.
Mike, the ambassador is like my dream job of being a bowl rep. You don't really do much.
But you get cool pins.
You get to wear a jacket and you're a scumbag. Right, you get to go to games and you get to do whatever you want to do. But you don't really want a Belgian pin?
So is that why we want Thailand?
No, I'm just saying wherever your favorite country is, you can be the ambassador there.
Thailand.
Okay, there you go, David. Thailand.
Yeah.
All right.
Woo-hoo. Oh, all right. No, that's unnecessary. All right.
Well, you know, they say that certain city there makes Vegas look like nothing. I'm not going to say the name of the city.
What have you done to my Goodly segment?
Come on. Keep it going.
All right, next one. Anthony Cirelli or Edmondo Cirelli?
I know this one. What's the other job?
Mexico's not in this.
I was about to say,
since they're both kind of on that line, Italian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation.
He gave it away there.
Like what kind?
There's no way that Armando is not the Italian guy.
It's not Armando, it's Edmondo.
Okay, Edmondo's the Italian guy.
There's a lot of Edmondos, Mike.
How many Edmondos you got in your family, Mike?
How many Edmondos you go to high school with?
Bro, I got bad news for you. Everybody where I grew up was named Anthony, Paul, Vince, John, or Michael.
I just thought they were named Anthony and Tony and Little Anthony Tony.
Big T.
Dude, I had an Uncle Rock, for God's sakes. Edmondo. Right.
Edmondo's the Italian guy. I'm going to say the other one is.
Kenny, go ahead.
Edmondo Cirelli is the Italian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation.
Yep, you gave it away. You're right, Evan.
You had to keep that one, and you couldn't have said Italian there.
That's okay.
I'll keep that one in the bank next time.
Keep going.
All right, we got Brian Bennett or Sam Bennett.
Wow. I know this one.
Can I go back to a previous one? Was the previous Sam an NHLer or no?
That's for you to remember.
Huh.
I'm giving you no more hints. No more. There will be no more.
I know this one.
So it's yesterday there weren't any Bobs in the league, but now there's like multiple Sams.
Ryan, yeah. Bennett,
I'm gonna say, Bennett. I'm going to say Sam.
Diplomat?
Hockey player.
Ryan Bennett is a basketball player.
What?
Where? Ryan.
Are you thinking Tony Bennett, former Virginia coach?
Yeah. Ryan is a black name. It's not can't be a hockey Brian. Player.
When is Brian a black name? Brian's just a name.
Oh, okay. I know. All I know is black Bryans.
Wow. I learned something new.
I thought Brian was like one of the more...
It was like Steve.
Like the milquetoast names. Like your parents are uncreative dimwits and they're just like, we'll call him Brian.
One of my best hockey buddies, his name is Brian. He used to work in the building.
Up next, Kenny discovers his best friend is black.
Oh, you got a black friend?
I guess I do. I haven't asked him, I guess.
Kenny,
not trust me.
Happy Black History Month.
Kenny and his stunning 23andMe results.
Wow, who would have thunk?
All right, guys, Brian or Sam?
You're really from Canada.
I had to sit this out. I'm going to say
Sam's the NHLer.
Sam, you said Sam's the NHLer. Rico?
Sam.
I have to go Sam.
You are all correct. He's a forward for Team Canada and on the Florida Panthers.
Brian.
And by the way, shout out. Apparently, Brian is a black name.
Very right. According to David, Brian works at the liquor store, so there we go.
No, Brian is the British ambassador to Belarus.
And he's British.
Yeah.
David also claims Brian is a more popular black name than LaMelo.
I only know one LaMelo, so.
Kenny, do we have a Jaden today?
No, there is no
What Jaden. Are you talking about? That's the whitest name ever.
We do have...
Signed David Hull.
I'll give you one more.
Okay.
We got Seth Jarvis or Will Jarvis.
Okay, I'm going to play this.
I know Seth Jones.
That's not the same person.
Oh, Popeye's kid.
That's Popeye's kid.
Okay.
Up that next.
Is the black guy in the NHL. You got it, David.
Up next. Seth is a white name. Just kidding. Seth Jones on line four.
Seth Jarvis or Will Jarvis?
Jarvis is the last name, huh? I'm going to say Will.
I'm going to go Seth.
I'm going to go Will.
Yeah, William Jarvis.
Seth is a hockey player name, though, isn't
it? Kind of is. It's a tough guy's name.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Seth Jarvis is a forward for Team Canada and the Carolina Hurricanes.
Damn it.
What was the other guy?
The foreign diplomat.
Kenny, does this mean I get my card?
Sebastian sure. Aho or Sebastian Aho?
The better Sebastian Aho.
Yeah, my team decidedly is the worst one.
I do have a question because there was an Aho on the ice yesterday, or were they both on the ice?
No,
I couldn't tell.
No, there's only one that qualifies for this tournament.
Oh, okay.
That's Carolina.
The other one plays for Mike's team, and he's not that great.
I got the government cheese version, okay? The real Sebastian Aho plays in Carolina.
Wait, are you guys being serious? There's two of them?
Yeah,
same name. Them unrelated different countries from that they were born.
Yeah, one guy's a demon, the other guy blows.
And with that... That
so
is
it's like the good Howard nations. And the bad Howard.
Yes.
Or foreign diplomats.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.